I want to welcome Will Wernick to upcoming discs. He's the director of Escape Room. You were in on the writing of the story. So can you tell me a little bit about how you guys collaborated to come up with this idea?
Absolutely. I've worked with Noah for a long time. He's one of the first people that I worked with in Colorado when I started doing film. And he had moved out here a little bit, maybe a year before we started this movie. And when I started talking about the concept, our executive producer, Jeff Delson, and presented them with an outline, we then brought it to Noah, and he wrote the script, and we were off and running.
Was there a particular event or a particular room or a particular story that was stuck in your head when you started this?
You know, I had only done one escape room when we first started, but Jeff, who I just mentioned, our AP, and then one of our producers, Kelly, his wife, had done a lot of them. And they had done one, a Russian one, I'm not sure the name of it, but they had done one in Los Angeles where you started in a cage, and it was very theatrical.
Right.
And when we got talking about it, it's a pretty obvious fodder for a thriller or horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in them now where you do really feel like you're in danger.
Really?
So it seems like a pretty obvious starting off point for a movie, and we were all surprised that it hadn't been done, so we started immediately.
Well, and that really serves your script here, because one of the things that I took notice of early in the film is that it actually takes a long time in the film before something sinister enough happens that anybody doesn't think they're playing the game. For a very large portion of this film, the characters still believe they're participating in something that's benign.
Yeah, it's about halfway through.
Yeah. Well, and you put together this group of actors. Being on a low-budget film, you don't always have a lot of time to work with people. So I guess the first question I have to ask you is, these guys had to work together in small, confined spaces. So what did you do to help develop chemistry between your characters? Because I think that's part of the film's strength, is that these characters do feel like they've been together. There's a dynamic that's quite obvious without you having to go back and explain for so long. How did you create that?
Sure. Well, it came about, I mean, living in Los Angeles, that type of night is sort of a typical thing that'll happen.
Yeah.
But the cast came together in a really interesting way. I had been working with John Irati, played Conrad in the film, and Annabelle Stevenson, played Pasha, for a while developing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when we started doing this, they seemed like two of those parts were written for them. The cast got filled in pretty close to shooting. Annabelle had worked with Brittany Smith, who's now Brittany Ward. She got married. A really talented casting director.
Uh-huh.
And she came in and helped us get Evan and Dan Johnson. Evan did a phenomenal job in the film, but it speaks to all of them as really good actors, because
right.
The first time they ever met, a lot of them ever met, was when we shot the stuff in the limo.
Okay.
Which was the first thing we shot, the first night of the film.
Right.
And they just kind of all jumped in. We all talked for a little while and started shooting, and they're all talented enough that you wouldn't know that was the first time they'd ever met.
Well, and that's true. And like I said, you included, which I assume were part of subtle parts of the script, you included all these different dynamics that slowly come out as the film unfolds, that there are various dynamics and relationships between these characters that come out later. But you planted the seeds early to that, and you managed to do that without a lot of exposition, which is what I liked.
Absolutely. You know, the film is, the idea is that it's sort of a fun thriller. It's not as much like a hardcore horror movie like Saw.
Right.
So we wanted to have a lot of those little breadcrumbs early on in the dinner scene.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff was all in the script. Noah wrote all that stuff in, and I think we did it in a subtle enough way that you pick up on it until it gets a lot less subtle later in the film.
And it is a good cast, but I have to tell you, I was particularly fond of Annabelle. Her eyes, as an actress, she managed to convey so many things with just a look. And you obviously can't script that, and that must be even tough to direct. So you really lucked out there, I think.
Well, I totally agree. I'd love to take credit for that. But if anything, Annabelle's super talented. I'm a big fan of hers. She can bring that stuff out on cue, which is pretty amazing. And she was a really good sport having us put her through those vents and stuff.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the production design a little bit, because I think the production design is very interesting here, because you have these relatively small sets. They're very unique and you know, loaded with stuff. Your prop master must have really had to work overtime. So can you tell me what went into to developing these individual rooms? And can you tell me a little bit about developing that?
Absolutely. One of the cool things is the basic layout of the room was in the original outline. So we were able to write to whatever we were going to build.
Right.
Which is really nice because, you know, early on you can do things like line up doors for shots that would be difficult in sets that we didn't build.
Mm-hmm.
It was an interesting build process. So once we had a lock script, we got a big warehouse downtown Los Angeles, and I had about a month to build those sets.
Uh-huh.
I flew out a good friend of mine named Ryan Means, a contractor, among other things, in Montana, and we actually constructed the sets ourselves. And then the veneer on it was done by our production designer, Christian.
Yeah.
But a lot of the props, a lot of the unique props were actually built by me.
You also filled them with a lot. It seems like there's a lot of retro. I don't know if it was intentional that it's very old school, old televisions, old clocks, you know, old maps on the walls. I don't know if that was an intentional thing or just what made it easier to do, but that stood out to me.
Absolutely. That was all Christian. So his sort of big showpiece in that film is the what we call the Hemingway room.
Right.
The sort of smoking lounge style room.
Okay.
That bear head.
Yeah.
Scratch. Which is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And all the set design in there was him. He brought in all that stuff, the Chesterfield, all the little trinkets.
Uh-huh.
There's like some boars and all those unique clocks. Really cool stuff.
Yeah. And of course, you found a way to work most of that into the story. But I got to tell you, you have a lot of red herrings in there. There's a lot of detail in those sets that I was surprised never ended up coming into play in the film.
Absolutely, Neil. That's an interesting thing. This was the first project of this size that I've ever done.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, for first-time directors, the biggest thing that you learn is, you know, filmmaking, the devil's in the details.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that seem like fun set dressing.
Right.
You know, as you go through the year and a half or 2 years after you've done shooting the film.
Sure.
You realize that it might have been a good idea to work some of those elements in. But you know, I'm really proud of what we accomplished, especially on the time frame we had.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree, there's a lot of details in there that do not get used.
Well, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. It adds, you know, it adds that atmosphere to the film as well. But it just, in a way, maybe it keeps the audience guessing. And that's what I was wondering, if that was your intent, is to load it with so much stuff so that people might find themselves trying to guess what elements would become clues or would become crucial things in the film.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in all the rooms that are like that. And I don't know if you've ever been in an escape room, but 80% of the stuff in those rooms are, you know, it's all red herrings.
Yeah.
And they actually, one of the big problems these companies have is people break things a lot.
I bet.
With everything significant, so they'll rip posters off the walls. I was talking to one guy at one we went to, and he said that, like, someone had broken their chair multiple times.
Oh.
Trying to see if somebody was inside of the chair in the room, stuff like that. But absolutely intentional.
So did you have that in your prop situation? Did you have any props that ended up not working the way you wanted them?
I had a bunch of props. a bunch of props. One of the ones that I was really proud of was the little projector cube.
Right.
Which was a functional prop. It had
from the limo.
A projector in it that actually worked. Yeah, in the limo.
Yeah.
There's this little cube projector that you can find on Amazon, and we actually built the box around it.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, when you're shooting a film, you're not going to end up using, you know, a real projection like that.
Sure.
There's a lot of stuff like that. The little door between the basement room and that smoking lounge room
right. Was
just a nightmare, because nobody makes that.
Mm.
It was all bespoke, and, you know. Oh, there's another funny one. You know, the doors were all not metal, and Evan Williams actually punched through one of the doors in a take.
Well, those kind of things create problems when you're on a limited time schedule, don't they?
They absolutely do. Luckily, another one of Christian's talents is he can fix things really quickly. So it didn't end up being much of a problem, but could have been, for sure.
Yeah. Well, so the cast, when you brought them into these rooms, was there anything about the rooms that helped to bring out their performances? Did they find it helped them? Did they find it was tough because it was so claustrophobic in there?
I think in the vents, absolutely. I think it just helps, especially on a budget.
Right.
That everything was essentially real.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of visual effects in the film. There's only a couple things that were done with visual effects. All those televisions, for instance, had the actual feed on them.
No kidding.
And the green square puzzle in that sort of morgue room.
Yeah.
The letters weren't there. Those were done in post, but it was all practical lighting. So as they were tapping, it would change from red to green, and we had, you know, Jason did a phenomenal job. Jason Goodell, the director of photography, building rigs that would actually work for that. Same with all the little lights and switches and stuff. It was all practical.
Right. Well, with the televisions, that must have been hard to get that footage to sync up to what you were doing, especially if you had multiple takes, didn't it?
Absolutely. Some of it ended up getting replaced later.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the little timers in the corners, because a lot of that stuff didn't add up.
Right.
Or sync up, as you're saying. We ran into some funny problems with that, too, just finding a splitter, old analog splitters, to eat that many televisions. We bought out all the Radio Shack.
I'll bet.
Been, you know, 15 miles or something.
Yeah. Well, you know, and speaking of the television stuff, I kind of felt a little sorry for the actress who for most of the movie gets to sit in a cage naked and look sad or terrified. That must have been difficult for her.
Elizabeth Howard, she's really phenomenal, and she was a very good sport about it. All of that was shot over a couple hours, actually in the back of a practical cage.
Right.
Our DP's brother's a welder, and he actually put that cage together. I still have it. In storage, but she was a trooper. That's a hard kind of scene because there's nothing to react to.
Right.
She didn't have a feed, so the whole exchange between her and Evan Williams, you know, that was just them being good actors.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the other thing that you have when you're trying to do a film on a limited time, you're trying to do a film on a limited budget. I guess the big question I have to ask you, was there something on your wish list that you really wish you'd had a chance to put in the movie but just didn't get to do?
You know, the only thing that I really, you know, we talked for a long time about how the film was going to get shot. You'll notice there's no handheld in the film.
Right.
It's all dolly work.
Okay.
One of the big components that we planned on was a lot of overhead coverage.
Uh-huh.
To tie the scenes together, and that was the stuff we ended up having to lose. Okay. Because it takes so long to rig that we just couldn't do it. But other than that, we really got everything we wanted.
How about something that worked out better than you could have ever imagined, that you thought was going to be a problem with the budget, but just turned out phenomenal?
The ending of the film got rewritten after we shot, and so we went back to shoot the whole telephone sequence later on.
Yeah.
And I think the sort of happiest, I wouldn't even call it an accident, but the luckiest that I got personally was that coming back with Elizabeth, she was so game to come back in and do that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, 4 or 5 months later.
Right.
So we can stitch that together.
Now, one of the elements, one of the puzzles plays this Teddy Bear Picnic song. And I have to tell you, when I heard that, it reminds me a little bit of the Alfred Hitchcock theme. Was that intentional?
Oh, interesting. I'd have to ask our composer, Jinx. It wasn't intentional for me, but now that you say that, I'm surprised I didn't get that together. We had another version of it in the film originally, and then we had to recreate it for licensing issue.
Sure.
He did that. He did a really good job. But no, that's an interesting catch.
Yeah, it just, because at first, the first few notes, when it first started, that's what I thought it was, and then it was obvious that it was a different theme. But it came across in that same style, and I thought that might have been an homage to Alfred Hitchcock, because it also seems to me, I've heard that you did a cameo in the film a la Alfred Hitchcock. Is that true?
It is. I'm the body of the villain. The voice of the villain is actually our editor, Chris Burton. When we started doing Temp, he created this voice. He did a lot of voice acting, which I didn't even know before he was an editor. And we ended up sort of both becoming the villain. He was instrumental in a lot of this. Like you mentioned, the teddy bear picnic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In the original script, the bear prop did not turn it on and off.
Okay.
That came out in editing. And that was all him. That's one of my favorite scenes in the film, the way that works.
Mm-hmm. Now, you worked with, you say you knew the writer pretty well, and the two of you kind of worked on this together. Did that help you as a director, that you kind of had the idea and that you worked with the guy who wrote the screenplay? Or is it a little bit easier to work on someone else's material entirely?
You know, I write as well. I prefer to write my own stuff. For this type of film, Noah is a better writer than I am, so it just sort of made sense. It was a real collaborative process. Jeff, Sonia, Lissette, the producer, and Kelly Delson, all of us worked on the script with him. But no, I think in general, I would say it's easier to direct things that you write yourself.
Now,
there's no way you don't know it.
Yeah. How hard was it to get the funding and get the release and distribution of the film?
The funding wasn't too difficult for me, anyway. I didn't want to shortchange what Jeff put together.
Yeah.
But the concept and the timeliness of it, people ask me about that a lot, and I say I've had a lot of other things that almost have worked, and this worked so quickly because it was a good enough idea. It's an idea that, you know, everyone we talked to about putting money in was not a very hard sell. Actually, selling the film after it was done was a much longer process. One of my producer friends, Chris Mangano, connected us with Voltage Pictures, who represented the film internationally, and about 10 other companies, and they were the one that bit, but they really got it and liked it.
Right.
And through that happening, I think we got preferred content on right about then. We had already been at Lionsgate. They went out to a bunch of other people in Lionsgate. Home Entertainment came back.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, even that part wasn't as difficult as just the legal delivery and the physical delivery. But
sure.
Then after we signed those deals,
uh-huh.
A lot of people don't understand how difficult that part is.
Yeah.
And the sort of unsung hero of that section is the least sexy job in the world, but our producer, Sonia, something like 1,000 pages of legal.
Wow.
It's sort of unfortunate people don't understand how that part of the process works, because it's pretty amazing. I could not do it.
Well, now it's out on DVD in time for Halloween, of course. That's got to make you feel good. How did it feel to watch the DVD for the first time?
You know what? I'll admit, I've never actually watched the DVD. I haven't gotten a copy yet. I'll get it when it comes out. but I've seen the film quite a few times,
obviously.
I've seen it with different audiences. We showed it. It premiered at a festival up in Seattle.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's amazing to watch, especially our second screening up there, to watch it with an audience that really got it.
Mm-hmm.
Was quite an amazing feeling. I'm excited to give the DVDs out as presents to friends and family, because everybody's asking, and people still watch DVDs. I pretty much download everything else.
Yeah, I still do.
Now, but...
That's how I watched the film, brother. I watched it on a DVD, so... That's all I got.
Oh, very cool. Did you get the whole production box or anything?
Yeah, just as it's going to be in the store. So it looks good. It's a good set. It's a good release. Something to be proud of.
Very cool. Thank you. Yeah, it's been quite an adventure. It's about 2 years from start to finish.
Wow.
Getting the film released, which is pretty fast.
Now, without giving away any spoilers, one thing that I did take note is that your villain's still on the loose. So that begs the question, are you done with this universe, or is there something else coming?
We were actually in the early part of sort of pre-production on the sequel. Script is almost finished.
Uh-huh.
And it'll be a more intense, bigger version of the first one, basically.
Yeah. I mean, without talking about survivors and not survivors, will anybody from this film appear in the next film?
Hard to tell. You never know.
Well, I hope that Halloween ends up being a good time for you guys and that the movie gets out there and people get a chance to see it. And I assume for me, it's given me a little bit of interest in what these escape rooms are like. So, you know, it's something I might look into in the future, thanks to your film. So you might actually get a thank you from the industry a little bit.
Eric, you know, we just finished a theatrical run in Russia. And I was amazed at the social media that came out for this film in Russia. There's a lot of escape rooms in Russia.
Yeah.
And they went hand in hand, kind of together. They promoted it through the escape rooms, and then the film promoted a specific escape room. So, I think that's a definite possibility.
Did you put a blindfold on the camera at one point?
Yes, that's pretty funny, actually. So that whole blindfold section was shot in a parking garage in downtown Los Angeles. I shot that like 3 or 4 times.
Okay.
And it was hard to find the right lights for that. But yeah, the camera's blindfolded for a while.
No, that was a very cool effect. I kind of like that effect. I hope maybe you continue that in the next.
Absolutely, no. That was in the script that Noah wrote. That wasn't in the original outline. And
mm-hmm.
give him credit for that. It's a pretty neat effect. And even reading it, that's one of those things you read and you can't wait to shoot.
Yeah. Well, I assume it just all depends on the material, and it's something you probably don't know how well it's going to work until you actually try it. But I thought it was a very effective shot.
Oh, thank you so much. It's something that you think will work really well, and then you have to do it well enough, I think. So I think it worked out.
Well, I'm looking forward to this thing making some noise. I'm looking forward to hearing about the sequel as that gets closer to reality. And I want to thank you for coming on Upcoming Discs and sharing your stories and information about the movie.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.